You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In the aftermath of the Watergate scandal, the Fair Political Practices Commission was created in California. That happened when voters approved Prop 9 back in 1974. The FPPC investigates and enforces California election rules and this week launched AdWatch, which is a program for submitting questionable political ads for review. In the studio with me, I am happy to welcome FPPC Chair Alice Germond. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Beth. Great to be here.
And I'm going to ask you in a moment to add some of your own reflections on Me Too. But let me start with some examples, if you would, of the power of FPPC, which has been around for decades and been very active in so many ways in California government?
Well, the FPPC really is about empowerment, and it's about watchfulness, and it's about making sure that the voters have the opportunity to know and understand who's running for office, who's paying for that person, what the background is, and creating a level playing field, as we call it. It's really important in these days when there's so very much money in politics for the voter to understand who's paying for what. And most of our politicians are honest people who really care, or they wouldn't stand up in front of the people and run. But there are a few bad actors, and so the FPPC tries to help weed those out by enforcing and investigating where they're getting their funds if it looks suspicious.
Can you give me an example of a violation, perhaps, or a situation which voters might remember or recognize?
Well, there have been a couple of cases of dark money, which is money which comes into a campaign that is unattributed to anyone, somehow or other sneaks its way in. And there may or may not have been some of those in the presidential campaign a year and a half ago. There may have been some up in Contra Costa, in fact, where one found that, this was before I was chair of the FPPC, but I believe that the county official had to step down because some money had come into his campaign that was very questionable, and he unfortunately did not step up and take care of business the way he should.
You have a long background in California politics. You were secretary, or still are secretary emeritus, of the Democratic National Committee. That was since 2013. You were national secretary from 2002 to 2013. You go back to Governor Brown's presidential campaign, I believe, in 1980, and deputy campaign manager for his reelection gubernatorial campaign in 1978. In this position, you were appointed by him. Talk to me about the perception that there could be political bias in either your role as chair or in the commission overall.
Well, I have also, thank you for giving some of my history. Actually, I go back even before that. I go back to the National Women's Political Caucus back in the early 1970s, and Betty Friedan, and the feminist mystique and consciousness raising that I look forward to us talking about shortly. My bias is honesty and transparency and getting the right information and acting upon it. I think Governor Brown has a long history of doing exactly that. I'm very proud to have been appointed by Governor Brown. I think he's done an awesome job for California. One of the things that I have admired most about the governor is he is thoughtful. He doesn't just have a knee-jerk reaction to something that's allegedly either Democratic or Republican, but what are the facts? What's real here? What really matters? And I like to think and hope I mirror that as chair of the FPPC. I have been the vice president of NARAL, the pro-choice organization. That is not a Democrat nor a Republican organization. That is an organization about women's reproductive freedom. I think that my history is such that I can look at what's going on and make the best decision possible. And that's also why we have this incredibly wonderful staff at the FPPC. And we don't make decisions until they bring us all the facts. And then the commissioners sit together at our commission meetings and make determinations as to who did something naughty or was mischievous in some way and who wasn't. You know, sometimes people make honest mistakes or they don't even really make a mistake. It just appears that way. And our job at the FPPC is to help them. It's not about gotcha. It's about help you and transparency and give the voters the information they need. And that has always been what I am all about since the civil rights movement and the women's movement and my Democratic Party work and now my FPPC work.
It is supposed to be a bipartisan commission. There are five members, although I think there's a vacant seat right now.
There is a vacancy. Governor Brown has one more position to appoint, and we're hoping that he may be able to do that before he leaves office. I know the next governor will look forward to putting their appointments in as well.
I am talking with the chair of the FPPC, Alice Dermond. Let's get to those stories, because Alice, you were entering your career in government at the time that, as Dr. Lynn Farley said yesterday, the whole concept, the phrase of sexual harassment was just arising as she likes to say, as a thing.
Right. Even before sexual harassment was arriving as a thing, which is a serious thing, and it's important work that is being done for women and for men to understand how we all have value, we all should be respected. It's not just sexual harassment per se. It's about power. It's about diminishing women. It is about controlling women. And that is so Neanderthal, it just doesn't even belong in our current dialogue. When I first got into politics, there were practically no women in the room. My first office that I ran for on the sort of party role was as chair of the women's division of the California Democratic Party. I ran for that position to get rid of it. I knew that as long as there was a separate women's division, women would not be in the real positions of power in the party. They would be over in their own little place. I won. I got rid of it. I ran for chair of the California Democratic Party. I think my elbows were a little sharp and I lost. But 2 years later, Nancy Pelosi ran for it. She won, and I think she's done a heck of a job as a leader, both in California and now nationally. I look back at how few women there were in office, and now we have two women U.S. senators. There was no woman in the California Senate when I got involved in women's politics. So I think we have come a long way, but I think the way we have been forced to struggle and fight and demand in many ways has made it very, very difficult for us to succeed. If we are strong, we are shrill. If we are weak, we are weak. And that just means that it's a much more difficult role and ride for women to get into positions of power and be successful at them, to say nothing of the actual physical harassment. And at the FPPC, it's about power and money and control. And in every level of politics, it's about that. And it's about the job. I remember when I first looked for a job when I got out of college, the newspapers actually had separate listings for jobs wanted men and jobs wanted women. And the jobs wanted men had pages and pages of interesting, well-paying jobs. And the jobs for women were like 2.5 pages. They weren't that interesting. And they paid almost 50% less than what men's jobs were out there being offered. So while sometimes I am frustrated, I am still hopeful, but I do think that the amount of harassment, both physically and mentally, diminishing you, not listening to you, being in a room where you say something you think is wise and it's ignored, and 2 minutes later a guy says the same thing and they say, well, as Harold said, and you just feel like you're invisible. And that invisible sense of being not really a part of what's going on is just wreaks havoc on a woman's soul and guts and makes us pushy or weak or sad or angry, none of which is who we are or who we want to be.
As boldly as you speak now, it's hard to imagine anybody being willing to take you on or diminish you in any way. But before we got on the air, you were telling me about a story that involved Vietnam, a right. place that you had actually been to. So would
right.
you share
my first,
that?
One of my first campaigns that I volunteered for when I first got back from Asia, my husband at the time had been the Far East Asia cameraman for Huntley Brinkley. So this dates me a little bit. I'm 75 years old and I'm proud of it. But I went and volunteered at the McGovern campaign, and I was allowed to answer the phones and maybe tell people where their polling places were. But if there was a question about Vietnam, and here I was in my 30s, two children, graduate degree, been to Saigon, traveled around the country, worked, in fact, as my husband's sound man now and then. But if there was a question about Vietnam, it had to go back, I was told, to the college students, the boy college students, I'll call them young men, I'll be gracious, who sat in the back room, and they could tell those stories and they could say what the president or the nominee's position was. I was not allowed to do that. I think in some ways that turned me into a stronger feminist than I was at the time. I wasn't even sure about the word feminist then. I was fortunate that I was well educated, but I wasn't as aware until I started getting out into the real world and volunteering in politics that, whoa, there's something wrong here. There's something not, we're not allowing everyone to contribute to our fullest degree. And we're more than 50% of the population. So I became both hurt and a little more assertive. That's when I decided to run for the women's chair of the California Democratic Party. It took me a little while. Then I became involved in presidential campaigns. And initially, we were always the women, the co-chair, and the guy was the chairman. But eventually, we've seen people like Donna Brazile and others become chairs of campaigns. So there has been movement, and I think it's a good thing, but I still think there's a very, very long way to go.
Hmm. Some people may be wondering, is she related to Jack Tremont?
She is related to Jack Tremont. He was my husband for many years back in Washington. He was wonderful. He was smart. He made me and allowed me to think and to think out of the box. And he always had my back, and I hope I always had him. I was very lucky.
I'm so glad you are here today in the midst of this week. Otherwise, we might not have had this conversation, and I think you had so much to add to it. I can't let you go without talking about the new AdWatch campaign, because this is a way that everybody can get involved in some of the accountability on political ads that in the times that we're in are more important to pay attention to in a scrutinizing way than ever.
The neat thing about AdWatch is it empowers everyone in California. You see an ad on television, or you see a bumper sticker or a sign or anything that is physical that does not seem right to you, that the, you know, information at the bottom, A, you can't read, or B, it's not really, it just makes you feel a little disquieted or uncomfortable. Take a picture of it, send it to the FPPC website, and it's all clear there, and you are empowered to help make sure that politics in California is clean. We've got an election in a couple of weeks. We want people to vote. I want people to vote, but I want, and most importantly, the people of California, I believe, want to be sure that the playing field is level, that they have the information they need. So if there's something questionable going on, go to AdWatch. Let us look into it. Let us help make sure that the California elections are the cleanest in the nation. We've already been ranked in the top three in the country, and I want us to be number one next year.
But has your work been amped up by allegations that the last election was somehow unfair, or there were illegalities or riggings or any of the accusations that have not to this point been proven to be true?
Well, I think people are more and more aware of what's going on in elections, or what may be. And their concern is a good thing. People being involved, people questioning, people looking into where money comes from, what the real positions of a candidate are and why. I think it makes a more informed electorate. The more informed we are, the better the government we will have. And I believe we deserve the best government in the world. We are an amazing, wonderful nation, and California is the best, biggest, most beautiful state of us all. So, I think it is important that people be involved and look into things. And the fact that maybe questionable things happened a couple of years ago or yesterday is why we have AdWatch, why we have the FPPC, why we have the Secretary of State's office, but also why we have you, the citizen of California and of the United States of America.
I am so happy to meet you. Thank you for sharing some of your personal story as well as your professional work. I truly appreciate it, especially in the times that we're in.
Thank you, Beth. I really enjoyed being here. And thank you for your wonderful questions.
That is Alice Germond. She is the chair of the Fair Political Practices Commission in California. We'll post a link. Look for AdWatch, the new program. You'll find it on their website. And more at our website, capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.